Today's daf in Masechet Erevin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Tes. And what we want to do right now is introduce our new perek. Sir Richard, we're beginning at the new perek Kol Gagot. Sir Richie, we're beginning the new perek Kol Gagot. Kol Gagot Ha'ir Reshut Achat. So we're finally getting to this issue that we've raised many, many times, and that is, we know that the Rabbonin created this sense of separate Rishuyos, even though they're all, technically speaking, a Rishus HaYochid. So they created, a concept of Karmelis in a Karfaf. They created the difference between a Bayit and a Chotzer, between a Chotzer and a Movoy. And the question is how far this goes, because as we've seen, one thing that distinguishes Rishuyos is the size. Another thing that distinguishes Rishuyos is the shape that we had before about Movoy. Another thing that distinguishes Rishuyos is the purpose of the construction. That's the Hukaf Ladira. What was the initial purpose of building the Mechitzos? It's not exactly clear to us, halacha lemaisa. We've seen some of the machlokas about this earlier, about what the interrelationship is between different types of rishuyos that are all constructed by the Rabbanan as a semi-rishus hayachid. So can you carry from one into the other or not, or is each one considered to be separate? And then there's another very interesting question, which would be, is there also a concept of not carrying from one rishus into another rishus where it's only distinguished by its geometry? So far, we've talked about something that's distinguished, again, by purpose, by diurin, by its general shape and where it is it might be confused with. But might there be also a sense of separation simply because of the spatial differences between one rishus and another? That's something we never considered before, and we're going to start considering in this perek, where the main purpose of the perek is to actually get down into the underlying structure of the way that the Rabbanan distinguish various rishuyas from one another. So as we saw earlier, this basically starts with the idea of what the relationship is of a gag to the other rishuyas. And there's a very simple reason for this, because the only place that we have something that is really similar to the interrelationship between various homes is the area that's on top of the homes. So in other words, it's all very nice to talk about the chotzer in front of the homes, but a roof, after all, is a roof directly over separate homes. If you've got an apartment building or row houses, what would be the relationship of one person's roof to another person's roof when there's no distinguishing mechitza between one and the other, no stairwell that goes up specifically from the house to the roof and the various roofs? So what would be the din over there about a roof? That's the easiest way to break into this sugya. And that, of course, is going to consider also the concept of diurin, because perhaps the diurin downstairs impact the way that we look at their mixed uses upstairs, and therefore mechayev a din of an eruv between the one guy's roof and another guy's roof. And we have to determine also, what about the roof per se? Is it a karmelit? Is it a chotzer? Is it the same as a bayit? What exactly is the din? So all of this we'll look into today. Kol gagot ha'ir reshut achat. So our Tanakama, who turns out is Rabbi Meir here, is telling us that if you're talking about various gagot, they all have the din of the same reshus on one condition. And that is that they're not physically different than one another. You can't have a roof that is physically different than the other ones. When you say physically different, it has to be significantly different. And that is to say, it's a distance of 10 tefachim. It's either 10 tefachim higher, 10 tefachim lower than the other roofs. And we're talking over here about roofs that adjoin one another. The question about what the din is, whether you're allowed to throw over an intervening rishus and so on, that was a more complex issue. That's not what we're talking about over here. We're just trying to define the nature of the roof itself. Now, this is a very strange shita, because we never heard before that the very fact that something is spatially separated from something else, even though it's made for the same use. I mean, and over here, it appears that Rabbi Meir doesn't even care if it might be the same owner, because he doesn't mention anything about who owns the roof. So he seems to say that the spatial distance itself somehow creates an issur. That's sort of strange. What would that mean? The Chachamim argue, and they say every roof is a rishus unto itself. So it's rishus bifnei atzmo, which would mean, I guess, that you need an Erev in order to carry from one to the other. Now, I'm not quite sure what they're implying about the actual carrying on the roof. Is the roof considered to be a karfaf, and it might be more than Beit Satayim, and then be also to carry, or a karmelit by definition, because it doesn't have clear mechitzas, or does it make a difference if there are mechitzas? All this we need to think about. Rabbi Shimon, of course, as we've seen before, and as we know, this is actually how we paskan halacha lemaisa, is a tremendous kula. And Rabbi Shimon says, all of these secondary type of rishus hayochids, that the Chachomim have given a takana as being unsuitable for carrying without some type of tikkun. So you're talking about gagot, you're talking about chatzirot, you're talking about the karfefot, where we had all the issues of Beit Satayim, or more than Beit Satayim. They're all the same. And there's no issur in carrying from one to the other. Now that's, wow, that's amazing. So what were all those halachas? Nah, the halachas have to do with carrying from your house. If you carry from your house out to your chotzer, let's say, because you made an Erev, then indeed you can't carry something that was in your house to any other rishus without an Erev, that's for sure. We're not talking about that. We're talking about if you have something that is never in the house, it was outdoors, either outdoors on the roof, outdoors in the chotzer, outdoors in the backyard in a karfaf, in the garden, whatever. An object that is in one type of semi-rishus hayochid, as defined by the Rabbanan, where it's actually classically a rishus hayochid, is exactly the same. The Rabbanan never made the takana on items that were there from the beginning of Shabbos. They only said that they're different rishuyos in terms of carrying from your home to one of these other rishuyos. And therefore, they are all called one type of rishus, as long as we're talking about kelim sheshaftu letochan. These were things that weren't in a home. They were in one of the above semi-rishuyos. Not, of course, the lola kelim sheshavtu betoch habayit. We're not talking about that. That's the ikar gezerah of erevin. Can't carry out of your house without an erev. If you did carry out of your house with the erev, then you can't carry outside of the erev to any other rishus, which is the same. That's a given. That's part of the takona. Obviously, Rabbi Shimon agrees with that. All that he's saying is that the very fact that something is given a shame of a type of different type of semi-carmelite area, that doesn't make it also to carry from one into the other. So it's a very different vision of the nature of Erev. And all along, remember, it's been unclear to us whether we're actually defining different types of rishuyah, so we no longer have four rishuyahs of Shabbos. We have all of these different rishuyahs. Once we introduce the concept of Erev, we have a chotzer, and we have a karfaf, more than shnayim of satayim, of one that is satayim or less. We have the karmelit, and we have the gagot, and so on and so forth. Is it also to carry from one to the other? Says Rabbi Shimon, it's not. And the Chachomim, indeed, say not only is it also to carry from one to the other, it's even also to carry from one to the same if these are areas that are, in fact, inhabited underneath by somebody else. So even if it's a roof on top of a building, you've got to make an Erev in order to carry from your area. If the kids want to play ball up there or something, then there would need to be an Erev between the various rishuyas that are under the roof. Wow. Okay, so let's take a look at Rabbi Meir's shita, because Rabbi Meir's shita is really very, very strange. What is the point? If Rabbi Meir doesn't care about the fact that there may be a lot of different people under the roof, and on one long roof, How all of a sudden does he start to care because one area of the roof went up 10 tefachim because the guy underneath has got a raised roof in his fancy living room, which is higher than the other people? Well, how does that make a difference? So Yati Vabaya Baravin, Rabbi Hanina Baravin. So here we had the two Baravins that were sitting discussing things, and Baya was sitting nearby and was listening, and they were talking together, V'yasvi v'ka'amri, and they said, I mean, look, the Rabbanan make sense. I mean, what they're saying is that the same way that we need to take into consideration the differentiation of Rishus based on population. So we go according to the concept of diurin. That was the main idea that we introduced with Erevin that didn't really have any place in Shabbat other than to distinguish between Yochid and Rabin. But I mean, to say the identity of Mr. A versus Mr. B, that was a concept of Rabbanan. And so the Rabbanan say, okay, well, that extends to the top of the house also, not only to the inside of the house. So therefore, if you have different people that are living underneath, their rishus extends upwards onto their roof. And because of that, it's like a chutzner in which you have different people with the rishus sharing rishus. And therefore, you've got to make an Erev. That's perfectly understandable. But Rabbi Meir makes no sense at all. I mean, either he holds that it's important to establish who owns the roof and see it as an extension of the house, or he doesn't. So, I mean, if he holds, what does he hold? Like the Rabbanan, and that we extend the difference in ownership to the top of the roof and therefore require an Erev. So then how could he say that all the roofs are one and you could play ball and you do not need an Erev? How do you do that? Now, this would make Brucey very, very happy. I mean, imagine, you could even have a World Series, maybe up on a roof. And he'd be the first one to say, play ball. So it should be one rishus then, even if you've got an area that's a little bit lifted up. And so if he holds that they're different, so then how could he say you could play ball? And if he holds that it doesn't matter who owns the area underneath, so just because one area is 10 tefachim higher or 10 tefachim lower, so all of a sudden I'm not allowed to carry into it, even if it's owned by the same guy, for heaven's sakes. You're saying it doesn't make any nafkamina. Who ever heard of such a thing? The same guy is not allowed to carry on his own roof because one area is 10 tefachim higher or lower? That's outrageous. So then I feel nami. I don't understand how the height of the roof has suddenly become a new issue. Now, Baye was listening in. Remember, he was Yosef Gabayu. So Baye says, excuse me, gentlemen, you are apparently missing a very important piece of information. And this is something that we've been missing all through the Masechet, an amazing new piece of information, which Rav Yitzchok Bar Avudimi said about Rabbi Meir. And he said, you know, Rabbi Meir used to say, Omer haya Rabbi Meir, kol makom shata motzei shtei reshuyot ve'ein reshut achat. Any place that you find spatial differentiations, even though the name of the reshus is exactly the same on every level, the name of the reshus in terms of Carmelite, reshus Arabim, reshus Hayochid, whatever the heck you want to call it. And not only that, it's the same diurim. But there's only a spatial distinction. You cannot carry from one to the other. That's incredible. And I'll give you an example. This is what Rabbi Meir said. For instance, you're in your own backyard. Everything is fine. Pokos from the Beit Sataim. You don't have to worry about a thing. Nobody else has any rights. And you've got like a little area that's an amud where you play basketball. So you have an amud in Rishus HaYochid, which is Gavoa Asara, Vrochav Arba'a. You're not allowed to even be Mechatef on it. You can't, certainly can't throw a ball up to your basketball basket. And you wouldn't be allowed to put your backpack onto the top of an amud like that because it's a different area. What the heck is the basis of such a thing? I mean, we know Rishus HaYochid is Eila Adarakia. And anything that is in it is subsumed by the shame Rishus HaYochid. What's the basis of Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir says, look, I know this is tough. And in fact, it doesn't even make any sense. However, would you agree that it makes sense in Rishus HaRabim? Obviously. If there would be exactly that case of your basketball court, we had that case, the Traskal in Rishus HaRabim. And what's the din of somebody who throws a ball into the basket that he's Chayav Misa? So it's an Isser Skila. because Rosh Hashanah does not go up Ad Rakia. And basically, you created a completely different Rishus in that Rishus Arabim, right? Okay, so now I got to make a Gezerah. Because if people do not learn to distinguish purely on the basis of geometry between one Rishus and another Rishus, there's no way that they're not going to come to end up carrying from Rishus Arabim to Rishus HaYochid. Gezerah Mishim Teo Rishus Arabim, because you can easily have situations like this all the time in the middle of Rishus Arabim, where you're walking, you could have a hill, you know, you could have something that was built there, a lookout, whatever. People will put down something for a moment, not even realizing that they're carrying from Rishus Arabim to Rishus HaYochid. So says Abaye, well, I mean, once Rabbi Meir is ready to say that, then it makes perfectly good sense out of what Rabbi Meir is saying over here in the Mishnah. Because what he's saying is, look, it's physically distinguished from the other Rishus HaYochid. Saying, yeah, but it's all mine. I understand. But it's all the same din. It's all Rishus HaYochid. I understand. It's a Gezerah because of Tel Rishus Arabim. There's no other explanation, says Abaye for Rabbi Meir. So, Achinami, Gezerah Mishum Tel Rishus Arabim. Now, Abaye Barabim and Rabbi Chanina Barabim were pretty shocked by this. This is my mission. It's throwing in like a monkey wrench into everything that we thought. They thought that that would actually mean that, like, if you've got a big suitcase and the suitcase is 10 tefachim high, you put your suitcase down in your backyard, so now you're not allowed to put anything on your suitcase. So they thought that would be true. But what about a barrel? I mean, a normal barrel is 10 tefachim high. So you're telling me I can't put, like, I can't put the glass on top of the barrel of wine? I mean, what? So even if you had a mortar, and these things are moved around, I mean, I move them on Shabbos, but, or afilu gigit, said Abaye, no. We're talking about spatial differences, not kalim. Kalim people don't look at as being their own definitive space. They're considered to be within the space where they are. I'm talking about things that are permanently in that place, and now people have to start becoming sensitive to their measurements. That's the point. What he said was actually that lo amar Rabbi Meir ela amud or amata rechaim. We're talking about things that are permanently there, like this base of something that's big. There ho'il v'adam koveh lehem makom. So then they're similar to a tail, and a tail b'rishus harabim could be mechayev you. Rabbi Meir certainly didn't create a gezerah even on kalim. Wait, Rabbi Meir, you're telling me he says you can't move something in your own Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid? Didn't we just have the case in the Mishnah of the wall between the two Chatzeros? I mean, what about that? We had the case of the Kotosh Ben Shtei Chatzeros, and that's pretty kavua, you must admit, right? It's a built wall. And Rabbi Yehuda said, look, if you look carefully into the various shitot over here that we've been discussing about whether you're allowed to carry from the chatzar up to the top, or can you eat on top of the wall, and so on and so forth, you will recognize that what Rabbi Meir is essentially saying is that you can carry even from one chatzar to the other chatzar if they're separated by this wall, because apparently what he holds is that when he said in the Mishnah, Gagin, all the Gagin and Rishus La'atzma. Exactly. That wasn't just a din in Gagin. What Rabbi Meir was saying is that in contradistinction to Rabbi Shimon says there's one essential set of the semi-Rishuyas de Rabbanan, which include the Chatzerot and the Karfefot and the Gagot and the Mokam and the Zinukafodir and so on and so forth. It's all the same. It's basically Gezerah land. Rabbi Meir doesn't agree with that, because Rabbi Meir said you can carry all through the Gagin. Now, that doesn't mean, says Rabbi Yehuda, that there's some magic about Gagin. If you look into Rabbi Meir's Shita, you will recognize that. What he is saying is that all of the various types, even though they're not all one and the same, but each one is okay as a set unto itself, so you could carry between any Gag, or you could carry between any Chatzar. Just like Rabbi Shimon says, what, without an Arab? Yeah, you can carry between any chatzer. It's a rishus unto itself. You can carry between any karfet. Again, obviously not if the thing was in the house before, but for things that were there before, and you're not going between type of rishus drabonin A and type of rishus drabonin B. So that much he agrees with Rabbi Shimon, that the din of Erevin, although he's more machmer, it does define different types of semi-rishuyas, but it certainly doesn't aser carrying between one and the other of the same type, as long, as we said, we claimed, as long as there's not this distinction of geometry. I mean, if there's a distinction of geometry and one is 10 tefachim, then we got this gezeira problem of the tail brishas harabim. Now, my problem is that the way Rabbi Yehuda is explaining it, then he seems to be saying that since, according to him, you're carrying from a chotzer to a chotzer, when you say those words, I mean, it sounds to me like you're allowed to carry from one chotzer to another chotzer over that wall, right? That was the case of the wall. You have things sitting down on the wall. So Rabbi Meir was saying, doesn't matter if you transfer it from one wall to the other chotzer. Why not? Because it wasn't something that was in the house. And that's really true, according to Rabbi Shimon. That whole Mishnah, according to Rabbi Shimon, remember, only made sense when it says, but you can't take it off of the wall down. Doesn't mean you can't take it off of the wall down to the chutzner. Why not? It means you can't take it from the wall into the house and from the house up to the wall. That's what it was saying, because that's the Iker Takana of Erevin, right? And Rabbi Meir says, I agree. That seems to be what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. I mean, so that means that Rabbi Yehuda is not taking into consideration in his definition of Rabbi Meir that there might be another problem, namely a gezeira mishum tel brishas harabim. How come he's ignoring it all of a sudden? I thought you're saying that's the fundamental underlying issue over here in our Mishnah of asara tvachim. So it should be asar. Om Rav Huna bar Yehuda, Om Rav Sheshi. What makes you jump to that conclusion? Okay. Where did he say you can carry from the wall? He said you can carry from one chotzer to chotzer. Does it mean necessarily that he's ignoring the takana, the gezeira of Rabbi Meir? No. He means that if there was a door between the chatzeros, and they did not make one erev, so walk through the door carrying something without the erev. Who cares? That's all he's saying. He's not ignoring the fact that according to Rabbi Meir, there's a separate issue. Fine. So what he meant was lach nislotzi derech haptachim. He never said we can ignore the fact that something is 10 fucking higher than the other. It's irrelevant, okay? I don't see why you're jumping to conclusions. Now, the Chachamim say that every single gog is a reshus to itself, okay? Therefore, I can't carry from my gog to your gog unless we have an Erev. Okay, what about on the gog itself, or on my own gog? What's the problem? Well, the problem is that if I need an Erev and I don't have an Erev, so if there was a Petach, I understand. Petach is never going to aser. But do I have a Petach on the roof? No, I don't have anything at all. It's a flat area. Now, remember that we have a general rule that wherever you have a Reshus, that is Perutz Bimlo'o, it's totally open, not a Petach, it's totally open to a reshus that is osir. Isn't that the case over here? I'm not allowed to carry from my reshus to that reshus. And is there any sign, any indication that I'm crossing over from reshus mutter to reshus and osir, some kind of doorway, some kind of edging? Nothing. No gifufe, no petach, no nothing. So then, I mean, it stands to reason that if I'm not allowed to carry from one gog to another, then fundamentally I'm not allowed to carry. Because, I can carry within four amas, right? Because I'll give it a din of a karmelit min rabbanan here and say you can carry within four amas as if it was Rishus Harabim. Yes, obviously. But I cannot carry beyond that, I would say. And indeed, Rav says that each one of these roofs, I can only carry, if it's my own roof, I can only carry within arba amas because it's porutz, bimloa, to the next roof. And that means I give it the din of a Carmelite, and I'm not allowed to carry more than our bombs in a Carmelite, just like I'm not allowed to carry in Rosh Hashanah. Shmuel surprisingly says, no, no problem. Even if the Chachomim say that each one of these gagot are independent and you would require an Erev to be able to carry from one to the other, you're still allowed to carry completely in your own on your own roof, and it's not considered to be Parut Bimlo'ah into the other one. Now, there's only one explanation for this. The explanation is that even though I don't see any type of intervening mechitza between my roof and the next guy's roof, the truth is that if I had X-ray vision, I would very clearly see a mechitza, wouldn't I? I mean, let's imagine that the roof is made out of glass. Okay, so as I'm walking on along the roof, I'm looking at the walls in the house. And I say, okay, now I'm going to be leaving my bedroom and going into the next guy's living room, right? So those mechitzos, I mean, you're saying, okay, but those mechitzos don't extend over the roof, do they? No, wait a minute. If you have an amud in Rishus HaRabim, what's the din if that the top of that amud is 10 tvachim high? Tail Rishus HaRabim, 10 tvachim high, 4x4. Is it or is it not a Rishus HaYachid? It is. It's classic Rishus HaYachid. That's how we define Rishus HaYachid. Where are the mechitzas? There are no mechitzas. I'm standing on that thing and I don't see any mechitzas. Where are the mechitzas? Well, as we've established long ago, back in Masechet Shabbat, the mechitzot are the walls that are beneath your feet. And how do those become mechitzot that are around me? Because of the halachic concept of God asik mechitzata, which means lift up a mechitza that is down underneath you, just lift it up so that it keeps coming up virtually. So then that means, let's imagine the case in the roof. Suppose I was the only person that actually inhabits this building. And there's walls all around on the outside. They just don't come over the roof. Is the roof Rishus HaYachid? Of course. It's the ultimate Amud Rishus HaRabim, right? The walls of the building continue up all around. Not so? Of course. So now, what about the walls in the middle of the building that just happens to be? I don't see it, but I don't see the walls on the end of the building either, but I take your word for it that they're coming up over here virtually. So is there something fundamentally different between the walls on the outside of the building and the walls that are separating the apartment units? Says Shmuel, there's no difference. If a mechitza continues going up, so why would it only continue going up from the side? Why can't a mechitza go up from the middle? I mean, who's to say just because I don't notice that therefore it's not considered to be a mechitza? So then that would mean that according to Shmuel, my area is surrounded by its own mechitza. It is not parutz to the next one. So why can't I carry on my own roof? So now let's get into the details of this machlokas. If you have a case, a mechitzot nikarot, where let's imagine a situation where every unit is actually separated by a couple of inches, like buildings are in New York, you know, so you've got 1 inch between your house and the next house. So that's your lawn, by the way, in case you didn't know. So that one inch over there obviously is sufficient for me to be able to see, oh, look, it's a separate building. And if it's a separate building, then my entire roof is differentiated with good asik b'chitzata all around. And then there's obviously no problem, right, in my carrying. That's for sure. So over there, even though, well, what do you mean? But I mean, you barely even notice when you walk onto the other guy's roof. Isn't that called parutz? No. How could it be parutz? There's a legal mechitza between it based on good asik, right? So over there, obviously, there's no machlokas. Rav would agree. Everybody would hold. Nobody argues on the fundamental idea of god asik. And therefore, each one of these roofs is perfectly surrounded by its own mechitza. That's called mechitzot nikarot. Nikarot doesn't mean I could see them on the roof. Nikarot means that they are recognizable when I look at the edge of the roof. So I can always look down and note that I am at the edge of a mechitza. And I can't do that in the middle of the roof because I have no way of knowing, if I don't have x-ray vision, exactly where the mechitza is. So if you're talking about mechitzot hanikarot, then of course, kuli amalo plige, then it's certainly each one is its own rishos, you can carry, it's not poritz in the least. But where is the machlokas? Ki plige b'mechitzot she'enan nikarot. We're worried about an issue where you have a mechitza that is covered by the roof between two apartments. Over there, I have no way of seeing it. Tosfos says this would even be true if the roof extends outwards and it does not allow you to see the place where the mechitza is. So you have this extension of the roof onto eaves that cover over the wall, like they do in our area, Tosfos says. Over there, that wouldn't be called mechitzot nikarot either. Okay, that's a side point. But whatever mechitzot nikarot are, when if you have a chitzotcha inan nikarot, the question is whether you can use that to enclose your roof. So Rav says, if there's no way of seeing those mechitzas from the roof and recognizing where they are, then those are called mechitzot she'ena nikarot, and we do not say God asik mechitzata, which is the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, if the mechitza is invisible from the roof. Where Shmuel says, you're allowed to carry on your roof, it is not considered to be porotz, the din of God asik mechitzata definitely applies whether I see the mechitza or not. Now, the Mishnah seems to be absolutely supportive of what Shmuel is saying. I mean, it says, Chachomim Omrim, Kol Echad V'Echad, says over there, every single roof is a reshus to itself. Now, what do you think that means? When you say it's a reshus to itself, it means that it's a self-enclosed, independent reshus that you can carry in, right? I mean, I thought that's what the words mean. I don't even understand what it means. It doesn't mean that. I mean, it works out very nicely, according to Shmuel. So Bishlam al Shmuel, that's exactly how he would have said it. The Chachamim hold, every reshus is perfectly well enclosed with mechitzot, she'inani karot, because of good asik, it's not porotz, it is a tmimus reshus for itself. What does Rav understand those words to mean? It's reshus to itself. It's not reshus to itself. If he holds, you can't carry in it. So what makes it reshus to itself? Hamri Beirav Mishmei to Rav, they quote Rav in his yeshiva saying, what do you mean? What does it mean? It means something very clear. Are you allowed to carry four amos in a carmelite? Yes? Okay. So suppose you're within two amos of your own carmelite. So can you carry four amos by carrying two amos into the other roof? No. That's what it's saying. Each one is a separate carmelite. So if you're going to carry arba amos, but of course, it's not saying you carry as much as you want. It's saying you carry arba amos, but you can't carry out of that reshus into another independent carmelite. I don't understand what your problem is. It makes perfectly good sense. Doesn't mean necessarily when you say something is reshut to itself that therefore it's all happy and cozy in carrying in itself. Whoever's heard such a thing? Well, I mean, didn't Reb Elazar say that when we were learning in Bavel, which is where he used to be before he was Eilat Eretz Yisrael to learn, so it was common for people to say that, wow, this is like really serious issues over here, because in the yeshiva where Rav is the Rosh Yeshiva, they always said that you cannot carry on a roof if it's more than arba amos. And you have to view each one as a carmelite. But the guys that were learning in the other yeshiva by Shmuel, they had a brisa. And that, I mean, it's very difficult for the guys in Rav's yeshiva to argue with. They don't have a brisa. They have the opinion that they're quoting from Rav, but the Dvei Shmuel Tanu, Ein lahem ela gagan, that each one of those roof owners has nothing but their own roof. I mean, what do you mean? They have nothing but their own roof that they can carry on their own roof. I mean, isn't that what the Braita is saying? My elam elagagan lav the shorla totule bekule. I mean, that's why they use it as a proof against Rav. So how do we deal with that? What do you mean? How do we deal with that? Why is that worse than the Mishnah? Can you explain to me? Is it saying more that kol echad v'echad reshus la'atzmo? Didn't we just explain what kol echad v'echad reshus la'atzmo means? That you cannot carry from two out of your four amas into two out of his four amas? I mean, same thing over here. I don't get it. Mi'alima mi'metnitin. Didn't we explain that the Lashon in our Mishnah, which says everyone is reshus to itself, means shelo yitalto shtei amot begagze v'shtei amot begagze? That's what it means here too. Elahem elagagan means don't you dare carry out even one ama, okay? It's not talking about more than four amas. But you can't carry one of your four amas on the other guy's roof. That's all it's saying. So meanwhile, we definitely have no raya one way or the other. Now, Rav Yosef, of course, very often comes along, and as a Talmud of Shmuel, is convinced, well, I certainly should know this. And oftentimes, because of his illness, he didn't remember something. And he always would say to Abaye, gee, I don't know. I don't remember any of this. I think it's a bunch of bunk. There's no such maimer by Shmuel that you can rely on invisible mechitzas to say God asik. And as is usually the case, Abaye always tries to get him to remember by quoting him precisely the way that he had taught it to them. And that's the case over here too. So Abaye said to him, what do you mean you don't remember? You were the one who taught it to us. So an Abratan Yalan, and you said it about the Mishnah that's coming up. And it says over there in the Mishnah that if you have, let's say, a building that has a shape of a peg, well, like in other words, one part of the building is very deep and part of it is thin. So basically that means that on the roof, you have one roof that's very wide. And then as you're walking along the roof, all of a sudden it constricts into a roof that's only half the width of the roof that you were on, right? So different size roofs. And the Mishnah says over there that if you have this wide roof and it's connected to a smaller roof and there's no Erev between the people who live downstairs, so then you're allowed to carry on the larger roof, but you're not allowed to carry on the smaller roof because the smaller roof is considered to be completely open to the bigger roof. Okay, I mean, that sounds exactly like what Shmuel was saying. And you yourself explained how that works. You explained, you said, quoting Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel, that this is only where you've got people, that there's a problem on the small roof, you've got people who use the roofs. And they're walking from one roof to the other roof, and there's the urine on the roof. So over there, you said that the reason that you do not have the right to use a small roof is because since people keep walking, you can't walk over a force field. And if you're walking through a force field, then you are destroying the force field. So it's similar in a way to the Gedeim Bokimbo. You don't say God Asik where people are walking right through it like it doesn't exist. That destroys the God. That's how you explained it. So since the area between the two roofs, which is owned by different people, is indeed Parutz. Why is it Parutz? What about the Mechitza? The Mechitza has been ruined because people walk through the force field, and therefore they wreck it. So you explained that that's the reason, because then the Katan's wall is a Mechitza Nidreset. It's a stepped-on Mechitza, which cannot have a good Asik to it. But if there was nobody walking between the roofs, and then I would be able to apply the God Asik force field, because nobody is there to show me that it's not there, so then there would be no problem, because then you could carry on both roofs, because after all, they're all surrounded by their own Mechitza. Were they surrounded? God Asik. You said that. That's exactly what we just told you that Shmuel said, that God Asik is perfectly applicable in cases where I cannot actually see that Mechitza from the roofs. So you were the one who said it. So what are you saying? You don't remember? Omar Le, I couldn't have said that. I didn't say that. You're quoting me wrong, okay? This is, I'll tell you what I must have said. I said that you're not, when did the Mishnah say that you're allowed to carry on the big roof? That's only when there's really walls that are visible on the roof. So let's imagine the situation. Now, obviously, the mechitzot hanikarot on the side are good enough. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about we've got a problem. And our problem is the area between the two roofs. And let me explain why this is an additional problem. Even if we include Mechitzot HaNikarot, it's all very nice to call the Mechitzot Nikarot and to say that the area is enclosed. But we cannot make that Gifufe. In other words, to say that, oh, look, obviously this roof is set aside as being separate from the other roof because of the fact that there's, oh, look, there's these walls on the side of the smaller roof. Now, what are those walls? If I'm standing in the large roof and I see the edges by the little roof that are visible to me, but they're not visible to them from the inside, what is that called? Those are called, we had this big discussion before, that there are mechitzot that are nikarot mibachutz, but they're shavot mibifnim, remember? So if they're shavot nikarot mibachutz, v'shavot mibifnim, as Tosis points out, this complicates our sugya terribly, because in that event, we end up actually saying that that should be good inside. Why would we be confusing matters here? Okay, so Tosus learns that what it's talking about over here is that the extension of the smaller roof is actually jutting into the large roof. I'm sure you remember that sugya before. This is very, very nogea, the dinim in a shul, where you're allowed to be mitzarif a minyan. Can you be mitzarif a minyan from a smaller room that's completely open to a larger room if it has gifufe in a way that's separated? And this was that whole problem. We talked about this in relationship to Bet HaKnesset Menachem Tzion, where there's a separate reshus in the lower area than the taller area. Can you be mitzarif a minyan? And it turns out that if you have part of the wall jutting into the other wall, so Tosfos says that's what we got to be talking about over here, which would allow this to affect only the larger area, which then has gifufei, and there are no gifufei at all because the walls just go straight onto the large roof of the smaller roof. Does anybody have maybe a diagram of this? Daniel used to post every day so nicely. Okay, I guess not. All right, but you remember this. It was a big sugi we had before. So let me explain to you what our problem is. Let us assume that you've got mechitzas hanikores. Are mechitzas hanikores good enough to create even gifufe that should be considered to be a petach between the gifufe? That we'll see. That is not the way a petach is made. Petachs are not made from invisible gifufe. We don't call that openings. Openings are visible as openings, not as the cessation of force fields. So therefore, says Rabbi Yosef, look, I didn't say anything like that to you. I'll tell you what I did say to you. I said to you that in the event that you have an actual wall, and that actual wall is separating big roof from little roof, obviously not in the area where they're joined on the bottom, but on the side. So then I said to you that the big roof is the Gadol is Mishtaria Bigifufe. It has a little piece of wall on either side, so okay, it is not parutz into the little roof. But the little roof has nothing, and it is nifratz bimlo'o, and therefore it would be usr. But if there is no mechitza on either, then both roofs would be usr, because it's still considered to be parutz. The big roof is parutz also bimlo'o to the little roof, and that way they would usr each other. And that would mean that I don't believe what you claim that Shmuel said, and that we can use an invisible mechitza as a complete gifufi. That's what I'm telling you. Says Abaya, no, that can't be. I'll tell you, that can't be what you told us. Because in your description of how to understand the Mishnah, you constantly refer to the word diurin. Okay? Now, the way you're learning it has nothing to do with diurin. Daniel just put up a photo of this. Let's see if it's a nice... Oh, it's one of those tiny photos. Okay, it's too small for my eyes, but if you can make it out, that's good. So, you told us a pshat that had to do with diurin. That's the way I explained it, which meant that you were buying in entirely to Shmuel, and you were saying that basically all that's important is whether there were people that were walking back and forth, and therefore they made this problem with the Godasik. That's what you said. I don't know what you're coming up with now, that you must have said there was a real mechitza there. Said Rabbi Yosef, I still think you got it messed up. If I ever mention that word, diorin, I'll tell you what it's about. I must have said like this. That's what I said. I said the word diorin in defining what type of mechitza we're talking about. And I said, only if you've got a mechitza that is really a solid use up a mechitza on a roof that the guy's not afraid he's going to fall off the roof, and it's a real mechitza. That's why I said the word diurian. I meant you could live there, right? That's what I said. And then you could be able to apply the din of gifufim if it's a serious solid wall and not a force field. So then you can be matir the gadol because of the gifufim on either side, whereas the smaller roof is considered to be porutz bimlo'o because it's not visible from within the smaller roof. And if there is a mechitza that is ru'uya ladira only on the larger roof, and there's no wall at all that's ru'uya ladira on the smaller roof, then that would mean that the people in the smaller roof, here's where I got to discuss with you diurin. That would mean that if the people don't give a hang, they didn't even bother making the place safe for use, so then that means that they don't really have any interest in using the roof. They're not going to be sending their kids up there to play ball and to go flying off the roof when they make a catch. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, they've pulled out. And as we said, when people pull out from an area, they don't need an Eruv, okay? And the reason was because my time at Kivin Delovod Mechitz, if they didn't bother making a wall, they're showing that they don't have any interest. That's what I said, but not what you claimed. I said, I don't get this business about, I never heard it. I don't remember ever hearing anything like that, that you can use an invisible wall that's underneath the roof level between the homes. I don't buy into this. Now, what Rabbi Yosef is saying over here is actually, it's true that there is such a din, and that the way that you relate to the area on a roof is going to define whether you have the right to use it even without an Eruv. And what is that? That's Kadyom Reb Nachman. Nachman says like this, listen, if you've got different people with roofs and only one guy made a stairwell up to his roof, so that's called a sulam kavua. Remember, we don't have a different word for an actual stairwell. So he makes a permanent entry onto the roof and nobody else does, then basically, if the other people go along with the fact that one home has access to the roof, then that guy can use the roof without an Eruv, because they were misalik themselves from the roof by accepting this fait accompli. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, we talked yesterday about the legalities of Gizela and whether Churva is Machzira Gizela and so on. That's not the point over here. But the point is that vis-a-vis Shabbos, it's as if they were Mavanta Rishus to you, and therefore you don't have a worry at all. That's what Reb Nachman said. And that's basically what Reb Yosef is saying. Well, all I said was that if there's not an area that's suitable for living on, so then even the people from the big roof are allowed to use the small roof, because the small roof is basically they've gotten out of the way. And Abaya said, look, you know, you have similar cases. Let me give you an example. A guy builds a penthouse, right? So you got this big roof. Now, one guy puts up a second story on the roof, which is now taking up half of the roof. So, and it, what he does is he makes also the final daka, I should say arba'at, because a daka is always four tvachim. So he's got this is my own explanation, okay? Tosis got problems with this explanation, the word even that I'm inserting over here. But it seems to be the pashtus of the sugya, and it leads Tosfos and the various Bali Tosfos to give all types a very kvetchi pshatim, because they're taking daka to mean, by definition, a separation. Remember, we always use daka that way, as a separation. But what daka means is a small opening. It was only four tefachim, just enough to get out of. So the simple meaning of the Gemara is that if you opened up even a simple exit from your penthouse onto the roof, a small opening, that makes the whole roof yours. For not, again, not legally, but for Eruv purposes. So then hutar b'chol ha'gagin kulam, because you opened it there, nobody else did the same thing. Nobody else built a penthouse. Nobody else built a stairwell. So that's basically what it's saying. So then you become the de facto owner for Shabbos of the entire roof area that extends outward of your penthouse. Okay, and says Rava, this is not a given, by the way, that a daka makes things better. A daka could actually make things worse. I'll give you an example in a case like this. The guy has a penthouse, and he opens up a daka, and not towards the roof area, but he opens up a daka overlooking his garden. Now, if he opens up the daka overlooking his garden, so basically now he's got a large picture window over his garden, or he's got a little porch, but it's enclosed. It doesn't open to the roof. So then what he's saying is, I don't want the roof. It's ugly and disgusting. I want a place where I could sit overlooking the garden. So then Dafka, he's taking himself off of the roof, and he accomplishes the opposite, in which the other people then might be able to use the roof, and he can't use the roof. So Echidami. So let's say David Lahadi Tarbitza the Beite. So now he makes a daka facing his garden. Because then anybody will tell you, what is this guy basically telling you about how he relates to this house? Lenaturi Tarbitza the Avida. He wants to be able to stand here and watch the garden. He's not interested in getting onto the roof. So then basically he was Mavato his rights to the rishus to the other people. And then the other people would have a right to use without an eruv. Okay, so boy, have we opened up the door to all types of wonderful new insights into what might go into the definition of a separate rishus. We've gotten into the details of mechitzas nikorais, where it is that you can use good asik, the machlokas, where the good asik applies even to mechitzas she'ena nikoros, a brand new idea of mechitzot nidrasot being antithetical to good achis, which is itself a fascinating concept that you can undo the mechitza in the same way that we undo a mechitza, which is the other type of good, which is good asik. Remember, we undo good asik mechitzas. We're used to this in the sukkah, for instance, right? So we've got a nice mechitza coming down from the top. We just had this. You start building the wall of your sukkah from the top. But if it doesn't come to within lovud, it's no good. Why? Same idea, because you've got Gideon Bokimbo. If you've got animals that are just walking right through it, where's the force field? So it's basically the same idea of a good achit in going downwards is the idea of a mechitza nidrosot going upwards, which is the good asik. And therefore, we're saying it's not going to be proper. Furthermore, we also have a brand new concept we never saw before, which is a new set of standards that would apply to a petach. In order to utilize a petach, it has to be a petach da avide inche. It has to be the way that people normally make a petach. And a petach that is just defined by force fields is not the way to create a petach between rishuyas. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, it's viewed as completely porot. So those were the big chiddushim we had today. We'll see you, Be'ezrat Hashem, on Mitzvah Shabbos.